First of all, same-sex marriage. We know you weren't happy with the lobbying campaign filling up your email inbox this year, but are you happy with the change in ALP platform?
I'm not surprised by it at all. In fact, I predicted that the conference would vote to change the Act, and it's done that. And I'll be going along with that. I'll be voting to support equality in marriage. I understand the need for a conscience vote, although I actually don't believe in conscience votes. But given this issue creates a lot of passion, a lot of debate from both sides of the equation, and there are a lot of people in Parliament that have some major problems with it, then I can understand why the Prime Minister's opted to recommend a conscience vote, and that's being carried at the conference too. So I think on that basis it's unlikely to succeed unless the Liberal Party, the Liberal Party room, gives its members a conscience vote. And I think Tony Abbott's ruled that out.
But would you prefer this vote to be a binding vote for ALP members?
Certainly. That's what we have conferences for. We are a very democratic organisation. I don't know if people were able to watch the debate on News 24, but it was a very, very good debate. A lot of people spoke with a lot of passion. Very unusual for a Labor conference. But I was really impressed with the way this conference was structured, because it allowed that. It allowed people to get up and have their own view and state those views with a great deal of passion, and that's a good thing, I think, in any political party.
But you're not happy with a conscience vote?
Well, I've never been happy with conscience votes. That's why we have political parties. If every issue that went through the federal parliament was left for a conscience vote, the country would be ungovernable. It just couldn't happen. There's always vested interests impacting on people. There's always substantial lobby groups trying to influence decisions. You would never get a stable, comfortable system of government. So that's why we have the two-party system. That's why the country has the Westminster system, based on the two-party system. And it served our country very, very well under both sides of politics, in my view, and it will continue to do that. Every now and then, some people feel the need to have a conscience vote. I can understand that. I'll participate in that. But I prefer to have these matters thrashed out at the appropriate forums in each party.
So why then is this, if you say you understand the idea of a conscience vote on this issue, why is this so different? Because a lot of political debate and policy is emotive. Why this particular issue?
Because it's a deeply, deeply personal issue. And they are the types of issues that do attract conscience votes. And there's probably none more personal than people choosing to live the lifestyle they like. So I'll be supporting equality in marriage. I'll be based on what's happened at the conference. But probably the thing that changed me completely was my own wife. She made the comment that the Prime Minister lives the lifestyle she chooses. It would be quite wrong to deny others to live the lifestyle that they choose.
But living the lifestyle and getting married is a different thing.
Well, they're both very personal issues.
Could it end up maybe being a problem for the Prime Minister if this is a topic that's debated from now until, you know, the next election or whenever the vote is taken?
That's... Possibly, but politics is a tough game. We have to make tough decisions. Sometimes tough decisions are not popular decisions. But they're right. I was impressed with John Faulkner's contribution to the debate when he said, you know, there's nothing about a human rights issue that warrants a conscience vote. Human rights issues are human rights issues. They shouldn't be subject to conscience. They should be just the norm.
OK, let's move on to uranium sales to India. Your thoughts?
Well, I've got some reservations about it. India's not a signatory to the International Nuclear Non-Proliferation Agreement. Situated in one of the most volatile parts of the world, and they've been at war with their neighbours on three occasions in modern history. I don't subscribe to the view that they're going to get uranium from somewhere, so it may as well be us. I don't think that's an argument at all. They are getting uranium from Australia because some of the countries we are selling uranium to are on selling it to India. Now, I think that was a retrograde step. However, I'm bound by the conference decision.
Why shouldn't there be a conscience vote on that issue?
Well, again, for the reasons I've outlined before, we can't have conscience votes on every issue. The country would be ungovernable.
But then it is quite an emotive issue and a very personal issue for some, as we heard, for example, from Senator Stephen Conroy.
Well, obviously, that's only because of Stephen's own family and lifetime experiences, pretty tragic events from what I believe. Very personal for Stephen, but nowhere near as personal as inter-human relationships.
Are you as outraged as your fellow Left Faction member Doug Cameron about this?
No, but you've got to love Doug. I really, really appreciate the way that fella speaks with conviction and passion. I just wish people could understand him a bit more. He's got that, that really rich Scottish brogue, but there's nobody more dedicated to his fellow human being than Doug Cameron. He's a good friend and I've got a high regard for him.
I can understand him.
Well, his nickname's Doogie, actually. He speaks like that in caucus just about every meeting.
Next time I'm interviewing him, I'll call him Doogie.
Yes, well, he'd appreciate that.
Can you see any backlash on this particular policy change?
Look, I think there will be. There'll be, some people will be very concerned about it, as am I. I thought I was really impressed with Peter Garrett's contribution and Stephen Conroy's. This cut across factional lines. That was the beauty of this conference. It's the first conference that I've been associated with, and only as an observer, and only observer in the media, that people were allowed to express their views in their own terms and not being bound by the way the previous conferences have been, inoculated against that very thing. The previous conferences were all stage managed, right down to the finest detail. Not a good thing for democracy. Probably one of the reasons why our party membership was declining. This conference changed all that, and I think that's a good thing.
Very different to the last conference under Kevin Rudd, where
Absolutely. He
was telling everyone to sort out their issues before actually making it to the conference floor.
Yes, stage managed to the finest detail, and that's not a very good and healthy thing. A lot of people resented that, as did I.
You mentioned Peter Garrett and his contribution to the debate on uranium sales to India. Is it hard for someone like him who has such a history of activism, I suppose, to deal with a policy change like this?
I'm sure it would be, and he expressed that, not in those words, in his address to the conference. Now, obviously, his background is president of the Australian Conservation Foundation. He's actually stood for the Senate, I think, in a non-nuclear policy or a non-nuclear issue. He's had a lifetime of opposition to matters nuclear, and of course it'll be hard for him. But he's also understands that if he's part of the Labor team in a senior role, which he is a cabinet minister, he is bound by those decisions.